It's day three on the Get Divorce Ready Back to School Challenge, and today we're going to be focusing on money. Experience tells me that you might be feeling quite anxious, and today might be the day where you want to shut your laptop, delete the email, and forget all about Get Divorce Ready, the Back to School Challenge. I understand, and that's why I've recorded this little audio for you. You see, if you're not used to handling money, it can feel really overwhelming. Particularly if you've got a husband who's already telling you about what's going to happen, what you might get, what you won't get, and all the things in between. Today is going to be about taking a bit of a break from all of those worries and thinking about your own relationship with money. You see, if you've been brought up to feel that you're not very competent, that you're wasteful of money, that you don't understand money, or that you can't be trusted to manage it, you'll be worried about not only the divorce process, but what's going to happen after. Will you have enough money for you and the children to live on? Will you be able to survive in old age? The temptation to, rather than look at it and get clear about what's happening, is to bury your head in the sand and ignore it. So if that's your temptation right now, I do understand. But hang in with me. Together we're going to look at your money story and look at whether there's actually any reality in it. If in the past you lived with friends or you had your own place, then there's every chance that you already know how to manage money. You've paid a rent or mortgage, you've bought yourself groceries, you've paid your gas and electric bill, you might have put some money away for a rainy day, you've remembered to pay for your car, buy petrol, or pay your credit card bill. It might be that you've had money coming out of your salary every week or month from your pension. If that's you, know that you will be able to manage the divorce process. The first thing you need to do is not panic about the future and land yourself in the present, the here and now. Now, in my group program, Get Divorce Ready, we spend a lot of time talking about financial disclosure, Section 25 of the Matrimonial Causes Act, what you might be entitled to, about cash equivalent transfer values of pensions, about Form A and Form E, and lots of really complicated stuff, or so it seems. But it's only complicated at the very beginning when you don't understand what these things mean. Now, depending on your circumstances, your finances may be really straightforward, or they may be very complicated. You might need the services of an independent financial advisor or a lawyer to help you with some complicated tax affairs, or you might need a lawyer to help you work out what share of your husband's business you might need. You might need a forensic accountant. You might need some investment advice. But those are not things that you need to worry about today. The first thing that you need to do is get clear about the first steps. The first steps in any financial negotiation are understanding what the assets and the liabilities are. That's everything that you have and everything that you owe. You also need to know what the value of yours and your husband's pensions might be. Only when you have all these numbers should you be considering what share of the assets you might ask for. I always say to my clients, and you've probably heard me say if you've been in the group a while, there should be no negotiating without knowing your numbers. The first step is to get clear about your relationship to money. Are you scared, and is that fear justified? By taking out bank statements, credit card bills, looking at the mortgage statement, or phoning the mortgage company and asking them for a redemption figure, you begin to get a sense of what might be possible for you. Until then, you have no idea what might be possible, and you're left listening to your husband and relying on everything he says. It's really important that you see these numbers with your own eyes. And yes, it can be scary, but women often report to me that it's actually very empowering once they get over the initial fear. So if you have a bank statement or a credit card bill in the house today, why don't you grab a cup of tea and have a look at it? Look at how it's laid out and what it's showing you. The more you get comfortable with looking at these numbers, the easier things will be in the future. Eventually, you will need to have 12 months worth of bank statements and 12 months worth of credit card bills. You'll need to have a mortgage resentment statement and a cash equivalent transfer value for your pensions, and statements for all the investments and funds and bonds and trusts and business valuations and things like that. But take it one step at a time. Just get your own personal bank statements and any joint bank statements that you may have. Think about what's holding you back. Is there any reality in it? By indicating on the workbook what your top fears are and looking at where those fears come from, you have a better idea about whether you need to believe them or not. If it's your dad telling you that you're bad with money because you used to spend all your pocket money as a child rather than saving it, well, you're not a child anymore. And if it's your husband telling you that you can't manage money and you can't pay bills, and the reason is because he's just done that for you, that doesn't have any validity either. If you need some support, then there's plenty out there, both in the Facebook group Ladies Who Leave and in Club D36. And as I mentioned, if you need some advice from the Money Advisory Service, you can find them online, or a financial advisor, or an accountant, or a taxation specialist, you can find them when the time is right. But commit today to just looking at your numbers and how you feel about money. It's not as scary as you think, I promise.